Bible line, hear God's word on Bible line, hear God's truth on Bible line.
Welcome to Bible Line with Dr. Ralph Yankee Arnold, pastor of Calvary Community Church in Tampa, Florida, clearly declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ through the radio and the internet. Your regular prayers and monthly support make it possible for Bible Line to continue on the air. You can reach us toll-free at 1-800-576-3771. Online donations may be made by clicking on the donations link on the BibleLineMinistries.org homepage. We pray that you will enjoy our commitment to the clear gospel of Jesus Christ and that today's concluding message of this teaching will be a blessing to you and your family.
So he makes a statement here. In chapter 4 of the book of Romans, in verse 2, referring to Abraham in the Old Testament. This is not Abraham Lincoln, this is the other one before that. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory. In other words, he could glory and brag about what he did. He deserved it. But not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God means he took him at his word. He had faith in what God said. Now to him, get this, this is a very important verse. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you earned it, God would be in debt to save you. And God is not in debt to save us. Then it wouldn't be grace, it wouldn't be mercy. I deserve to be saved because I worked for it. I deserve it. Therefore, I can brag and I can boast. But isn't there a verse somewhere that says, for by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourselves? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. But if it's by your works, you can boast. You earned it. You worked for it. You deserve to be going to heaven. But if it's by grace, you can't take credit for it because you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You didn't buy it. You don't deserve it. So get this. Now to him that worketh is a reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, look at that word, worketh not. The hardest thing I ever have to do with a lost person is to convince them you can't earn your way to heaven. They believe, and if they get steeped in some man-made religion, they are so convinced that I'm going to heaven because of I belong to this group or that group, and I do all these things. And it has no merit at all. And they're lost. But they're on this broad way that leads to destruction because they are blinded by the devil and only the light of the gospel, the truth of what God says. And so we have the truth in earthen vessels. And that's why this is so important. Look at the next statement. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Believing is not a work. Faith counted for righteousness. God will give you his righteousness by your faith in what he did for you. Now, is that the Bible? Am I twisting these verses to try to make them say what I want? No, that's what this Bible says. Read it. It's exactly what it says. Not of works. I wonder what that would mean. Not of works. I've had somebody say, well, you just... No, you don't know the Greek. I don't have to know the Greek. It's already been translated. It says right there, for by grace are you saved. How do I translate that? Well, by grace are you saved. I just take it as a word. It's already been translated. I just believe it. Look at the next statement. Look at letter B under number 3. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, because you can't be justified by your works. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have been justified, just as if I had never sinned. Now look at number 4. Romans 5:9 says, much more than being, and here are those two words, now justified. So if I have been justified by my faith in Christ, I was not justified by my works, but I have been justified, just as if I never did anything wrong. I've been cleared. Then evidently the case is closed being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. This case about us being justified, it is closed. I cannot in the future be unjustified. In a court of law, it's done. It's over with. Number 5, top of the page. Justification means to be declared righteous. This is a judicial act by which the supreme judge of the world will not nor cannot ever find any fault in you or I that could be charged against us. When I took that payment that Christ made, which was Christ, he was the payment for my sin. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, he gave to me eternal life. I was declared righteous. Case closed. That decision by God stands for all eternity. It never has to be done again. There are no more charges that can ever be leveled against me or you. Look there in the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who can bring a charge against those who've trusted Christ as Savior? Because when Christ died, how many of my sins did he pay for? If he paid only for the sins up to the time I believed, then all the sins after that could be laid to my charge. That could be evidence used against me. There is no evidence for all time can ever be used against me because Jesus paid for all of my sins. And that payment he made was put to my account. I have a payment for all sins. All charges have been not just dropped, they've been paid for. I am declared righteous. That is my standing in the Lord. And it can never, ever be changed. This is why you need to understand why I have eternal security. Not just to believe a verse like John 6:47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life. Yes, I have everlasting life. That very moment. And he'll never take it away. But understanding all these things behind it, oh, that makes it even better. Now I know why I have eternal life. Now I know why he'll never cast me out and he'll never lose me. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. This is why. This is the foundation of it. Get this. Look at the next verse. Letter B there in number 5. Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If it was the Lord that justified you, how can you be unjustified? How can I be unsaved? I have been declared righteous. Find in the Bible one person that God unsaved, unjustified. There isn't one. If a man could lose his salvation, there should at least be one verse in the Bible, one story, one illustration that says it. Find it. It's not in there. There's nothing in the scriptures that says that a man's ever saved, lost, and then he gets saved again. Because the only way you can get lost is there's a sin that wasn't paid for. Christ died for how many of my sins? All of them. If he didn't pay for all of them, he didn't do me any favors. But he paid for all of them. Now, the next statement there, if Christ is the one who paid for all of your sins, how can Christ condemn you for having an unpaid sin? He's the one that paid for your sins. So if God's the one who justified me, Christ is the one who paid all my sin debt, if God is for me, does it really matter what anybody else says about it? It won't matter how many people point their finger at you and say, you can't be saved because if you were saved, you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't do this. You wouldn't do this. And maybe your testimony is shot. Maybe you have no value as far as your Christian impact makes in the lives of other people. That is a shame and that is a disgrace. But it cannot unjustify you. You cannot lose your salvation. We're not going to heaven because we deserved it before or after. There is nothing that you've ever done before Christ saved you that merits being saved. And there's nothing since you've been saved that merits God keeping you saved. Nothing. You ought to see the change in my life. Yeah, but that has nothing to do in the power to keep you saved. In the book of 1 Peter in chapter 1 and verse 4, when we talk about being saved, we're saved from something, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you're saved by the power of God, and you're kept saved by the power of God. Your good life didn't save you, and your good life doesn't keep you saved. I am not more saved today than I was the day I trusted Christ as my Savior 56 years ago. I'm saved. He declared me righteous. I am righteous. And if you look at this old body up here and the way that I live sometimes, my attitude sometimes, there's time you'll say, Yankees, I know he's a Christian. And there's somebody else that says, if there's anybody a Christian, that's not one of them. But nobody's opinion matters. God's does. And God's the one that saved me. And he's the one that justified me. His son paid for my sins. And the Spirit maketh intercession for us. So I've got the Trinity on my side. And I will not tolerate anybody trying to convince me that I'm not saved. I am saved. I am safe. I am secure. And I couldn't go to hell if I tried. No, I have never tried. I want to live as righteous and godly as I possibly can. So you understand that. I do not advocate any child of God wasting his life and living for this world. I want every person who trusts Christ as Savior to serve the Lord with all their heart, but not to get to heaven, not to put any trust in their confidence in their life, that helps get them to heaven. We're going to heaven because of what Christ did. Salvation is free. Rewards are earned. And rewards is what God's going to give to you because of what you did for him. You see, I'm going to heaven because he loved me. And I serve him because I love him. Now get the next statement. Number 6. All the evidence that were against us being unqualified for heaven was nailed to his cross. And that's in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Get a chance to read it. 13, 14, 15 now. He says, there is not now, nor can there ever be any new evidence charged against us in the future. Because all the sin that Christ paid for, all of our sins, were in the future when Christ died. So he took all the evidence that was going to be used against us. Everything that I could have ever done from the time I'm born to the time that I die. All the evidence that I am no good, I'm wicked, I'm a sinner, I'm undone, I'm lost. Everything could be used against me, and all the transgressions that I've broken God's law, all of that was nailed to his cross. There is no new charges that can be brought against me. Look at this. Letter A, the voice of God overrides the voice of all of our accusers. They may see all my sins, but the Lord sees only the righteousness of his son. You see, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, God gave to you his righteousness. If he gave you his righteousness, that would make you as righteous as God. The book of Isaiah talks about he has given to us a cloak of righteousness. You see, he took my sins, and when I believe it, he gives me his righteousness. So you have to have the righteousness of God to go to heaven. That's why you need to trust Christ as your Savior. That's why just because he paid for the sins of the world doesn't automatically mean everybody's going to heaven. No, whosoever believeth the truth. You see, you need to trust what he did. He did it for you. So always remember these two things. Believe not only who he is, he's the Lord, but he said that if I would believe that he paid for my sins, I'd go to heaven. So I need to believe, what did he do for me? He paid for all my sins. Now, well, I believe he did it for me. So when you believe that, he puts that payment to your account. You go to heaven on what Jesus Christ did for you. Now, that is the best news that I ever heard. There's no trick to it, and he can't take it away from you. If he could take it away and you can lose your salvation, then it wasn't free. The gospel must be free, and it must last forever. If it's not free, it's not the gospel. If it doesn't last forever, it's not the gospel. And that's why it's so important. Look at the next verse, letter B. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. God will give you his righteousness, when you, by faith, believe that what Christ did, he did it for you. That's why you go to heaven. Not because of what you did, but because of what he did. He gets all the honor. He gets the credit. He gets the glory. Look at the next verse. Romans 4, 8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh, wait a minute. What about if I do something wrong today? What if? What about yesterday? Yes, I sin. Today I sin. Tomorrow I got an old sinful nature. But those sins are not put to my account. You see, all of those sins were nailed to his cross 2,000 years ago. And I hadn't even done them. I hadn't done these other ones, had I? When he died, I hadn't done those. So when he died, he did all of them one time. It's appointed unto every man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So every man has sinned. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. He can't charge me with it. You see, you ever heard of double jeopardy? Once you've been cleared, you've been cleared. I have been declared righteous. It can't be undone. I have been justified like I've never sinned. It cannot be undone. And one of these days, I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to get a glorified body. Now, I got my new birth. I just didn't get my new body yet. That's what we're waiting on. We're waiting to get a glorified body. If you could have yours today, would you want it today? You have to die to get it, though. How many of you want it today? You bunch of cowards. You see, I'm not afraid to die. It's just that I've never done it before. I just don't want to hurt. If he does it without me knowing anything, and all of a sudden I got it, that's fine. Or to go to bed at night and wake up in heaven. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to go? But we may not get our choice on that. All right, look at the next thing. I want you to see this. Look at letter D. In Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's eternal security, that it could be sure. You see, if it was by works, it could not be by grace. Salvation that was not earned cannot be unearned. Did you earn your salvation? No, it was unearned. So you don't earn it. You can't lose it. That's why it's such a wonderful thing to know. Look in John 5:24 says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath what? When would you get everlasting life? When you believe it, right? When you trusted him. Look at the last part of the verse. And shall not, wouldn't you say that's future tense? Shall not what? Come into condemnation. Means that in the future you can never be condemned. Why? Because there are no sins in the future that's put to your account. It's put to Christ's account. He paid for it. He died for us. Now look at number 7. This is where the Lord plainly declares your eternal security. When he makes this statement in his word. Because all of that is true. You have been justified, declared righteous. You have been given eternal salvation, not temporary. It wasn't probation because it has nothing to do with your performance, has nothing to do with your good deeds or your bad deeds, stopping something, joining something, has nothing to do with your works. So he says here in Romans 8:35, get this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Another way of saying, who can separate us from our salvation? Who can separate us from Christ? Nothing. Nothing. Once you have become a child of God, nothing can ever separate you. Look up here just a second. See, here's the Lord and here's me. I trusted Christ as my Savior. He gave me eternal life. He is eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. When he says, I will never leave you, eternal life will never leave me. We are joined together for all eternity. And nothing from this point on, from the day I trusted Christ, can ever separate me from the love of Christ. You see, this wasn't done because of the love of Yankee. This was done because of the love of the Lord. He loved me and made this possible. Now he says there's no separation. Because what he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation. Can tribulation cause me to lose my salvation? No. Distress. I'm distressed. That can't cause me to lose. Well, isn't that a sin? Sometimes I get so distressed, so just down in despair. Or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, sword. What can cause me to lose my salvation? Nothing. What can separate you? Nothing. Look at the next verse. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present today, nor things to come. Nothing can take and separate you or cause you to lose your salvation because you are in Christ. And nothing can separate you from Christ. You're secure. And either you are eternally secure or you're not secure. I have such wonderful joy and peace knowing I can't go to hell. I can't go to hell. And I know I'm going to heaven when I die. That's the greatest thing in all the world. And so a lot of time we go through all of these things and we pray about all these things and we can worry and fret and all these things about, well, am I really saved? I don't know if I'm really saved. Blah, 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 blah. You can't lose your salvation. Nothing in this world can ever change the fact when God declares you righteous, you are in his sight. Not in your sight, maybe in nobody else's sight, but in God's eyes, God sees you as perfect as his son. Now, is that grace or not? That's grace. Down at the bottom of the page, I want you to look at this. What shall we say then to these things? If God, before us, who can be against us? Remember when we started off, I asked the question the opposite way. If everybody is for us, who can be against us? Think of all the people and all the religions. And they all believe, a lot of times, the same thing their religion teaches them. And they're as lost as a hound dog in the end of a soup bone. Lost. If they have not trusted Christ as their Savior, lost. You see, you're not saved till you understand and believe in eternal security. Because what are you saved from? When you say, I'm saved, if saved has a meaning to it, it means something. I'm supposed to be saved from hell. That means I'm not going to hell. Well, I can still go to hell. Well, then you're not saved from hell, if you can still go to hell. I want to be saved from hell, where I can't go to hell. There's a lot of difference. I know I have eternal life. He that believeth on me hath, present tense, hath what? Everlasting life. You say, well, I believe it. Do you have everlasting life? If you can't say, I have everlasting life, you don't believe it. He said, if you believe it, you have it. So how do I know when I really believe it? When you can say you have it. Now, do you have it or don't you have it? He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I hath it. Do you hath it? Do you hath everlasting life? I hath everlasting life. Because that's what he said. Now, look at the last statement I have down here. It's all in bold. If all the world is against you and produce a million reasons, evidences, you're not deserving of heaven, simply acknowledge that although that is true, it was Christ that died for me and God that justified me the moment I believed. Praise the Lord and pass the French fries. I mean, for his love and grace. Now, isn't being saved forever from all of your sins? Now, isn't that good news? Now, that's good news. If you could lose it tomorrow, would that be good news? If it depended upon you, that'd be bad news. So God give us the best thing we could ever hope for, the free gift of everlasting life. Look up here. Let me show you something. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. Now, we all have sin on us. The Bible says that we, whom God loves, have all sinned because we got a sinful nature. So it's our nature to sin. But it says the wages of sin, because I earned it, is death. So I earn the right to be eternally separated from God. So going to hell, I deserve it. That I deserve. And so do you. But God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, well, we have to be perfect as righteous as God. None of us are perfect. We've all sinned. We've all come short of God's perfection. And so because we've all sinned, we can't get in. So God says you cannot save yourself. You see, all of our righteousness, the good things we do, are filthy rags in God's sight. So we need a Savior. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, God in the flesh. He came into the world because he loves us. Now he hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who loves us, did something for us. And if he did something for one of us, he'd have to do something for all of us because he's not a respecter of persons. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So when he gave his son, he was to pay for the sins of the world. came back from the dead and said that if you and I, if we would believe, he did it for us. You see, that's the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is, well, you, do you believe he did this for you? And when he died on that cross and paid for the sins of the world, that doesn't get you to heaven. You must believe he did it for you. And once you accept this payment, you have a payment for all of your sins. Now, once you understand this, you're not going to try to earn your way to heaven because you know you're already going. I'm not seeking to be justified because I already am justified. I'm not seeking to be saved. I am saved. Because, see, Christ died for me. He paid for all of my sins. And understand this. He loved you so much, he would rather die than live without you. So when he took all of your sins and paid for them on the cross and came back from the dead, he said, the only thing I want you to do is to believe that I did that for you. You can handle that. You can do that. Let's pray, shall we? With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you trust him? Would you depend upon him? And maybe you've heard a thousand times, but have you really trusted the Lord as your Savior? Are you sure you're going to heaven when you die? You can only get saved one time. If you've never accepted Christ and him alone as your only hope, would you do it right now? Right now, this moment is so important. You're not guaranteed another moment. But in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. It just lets me know that what I said made sense to you and say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I will accept Christ as my Savior. I want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die, and I'd like for you to pray for me in closing. That would mean so much to me. I can't save you, but I can pray for you, and I can thank the Lord for you. So is there anyone at all say, yes, that made sense to me, and I want to be certain of going to heaven, and I will right now accept Jesus Christ and him alone as my only hope of going to heaven? Would you slip your hand up very quickly? Put it right back down. Is anyone at all? Anyone at all? If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, then God says he gives you eternal life. And God bless you, sir. I saw your hand. Is there anyone else before we close? Say, yes, I want to make sure I'm going to heaven also. By trusting Christ as your Savior this morning, God saves you. He gives you eternal life. It's put to your account. When you get up to leave, you can say, I'm going to heaven because today I put my faith in Christ. And he gave me eternal life, and I'm his child. I'm going to heaven when I die. You have been declared righteous in his sight. All your sins are paid, and you have the free gift. He'll never cast you out, never lose you. Our Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray, Lord, also for those that are watching by internet, that perhaps many will trust you as Savior. We pray so. We thank you for each person here, and especially the one indicated by an uplifted hand, that they would accept Jesus Christ is their Savior. By doing so, they become your child. You become their Father. So bless them. Thank you for those that are here today. But then, Lord, there's some that are not able to be here because some are out on vacation and traveling. And there's some that are out sick. And just watch over us. Thank you for our church. Thank you for each person here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Are you a new listener to Bible Line? Do you enjoy the teachings of Dr. Arnold? Well, if you've never contacted us before, we want to give you Dr. Arnold's book, The Gospel-Driven Man. Every day we receive many emails from folks who have questions about repentance and salvation, about faith in works, and about how to share the gospel with friends and loved ones. This book, The Gospel-Driven Man, covers all those topics, and we want all new listeners of BibleLine to receive a free copy. There's no obligation, no donation necessary. Simply call us at 1-800-576-3771 or write to us and request your free copy of The Gospel-Driven Man. The mailing address is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, don't forget to include your mailing address. And God bless you and thank you for listening to Bible Line.
Thanks for joining us on Bible Line. If you are in the area, we welcome you to visit us. The address for Calvary Community Church is 4811 George Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. And now, a closing thought from Pastor Arnold.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon. Just keep looking up.